I'm at our newest museum. The Islamic Museum of Australia has just celebrated its first year. And already the tours, the educational programs, and the art exhibitions have been keeping the staff busy. Anyone that books a group over eight. We'll hear from the museum's art curator, Noor Shkembi. She met me in the foyer of the striking building located in Thornbury, a northern suburb in Melbourne.
The building is a pretty amazing space. It's actually an ex-water bottling factory that's been transformed into this amazing contemporary museum. The museum design is based on traditional Islamic design principles, but it is a contemporary space reflecting the Australian landscape, and it really does have that Australian Muslim feel to it. The first thing a lot of people notice when they come down the street is this amazing facade that the museum has, so the rusted Khorton facade, and that's actually mimicking a traditional Islamic mashrabiya screen. If you might be familiar with some of the traditional architecture in North Africa or around the Middle East, there's often a screen on the windows or doors or a room divider that is a beautiful, intricately hand-carved wooden piece. And the Khorton facade is the real sort of Aussie outback feel of that. So it's a rusted tin shed look, has perforated pattern in it. The pattern is actually an artwork, so if you were to zoom out of the building 100 times, you would see camels and Macassan boats and various things. And it actually puts on an amazing light show. So when you're actually in the foyer, inside the building, the light that flows in through the perforations is pretty special.
So the next thing I have to do is actually fly across in a small plane to see that artistry.
Pretty much.
Well, who was responsible for the artwork?
The architects responsible for the design of the building are local architects, they're just based in Fitzroy, and the company name is Decipher. The lead architect was Isam Nabulsi. There is throughout the building really sort of clever features that double up as environmentally friendly and also keeping that sort of connection and feel to the local landscape. So the property itself, where the museum is located, backs onto the Merri Creek Trail, and we're actually in a really beautiful section of the Merri Creek. So as we walk towards the back of the museum, we'll go into the backyard and check that out as well.
Lovely. Going down the stairs here, I see a lovely swirling construction here.
Yeah, that's our homage to the Guggenheim. That's just a little bit of an art joke. So, the art goers sort of get it. They have a little bit of a giggle, but I don't think anyone else gets it. But
I do.
You do. Yes.
Now, I want to ask you, most people think of Islam as a religion. How do you present the Islamic religion here at the museum?
We're actually standing in the first gallery, which is the Islamic Faith Gallery. Visitors can explore the museum any way they like, but we usually recommend to start in the first gallery because it does give the visitor a very basic understanding of what Muslims believe in, and in particular what an Australian Muslim might be practicing or how they're relating to their faith. Muslims in Australia are quite diverse, so there are over 70 different ethnicities and language groups. Many different cultural backgrounds and also various interpretations of Islam. So it's not as homogenous as people may initially think. It's actually quite diverse and colourful and a pretty exciting space to be in.
Well, I imagine then that these five pillars here represent the five pillars of Islam.
They certainly do. So throughout the museum, we have our content displayed as literature, images. We also have visual cues like the five pillars to help people remember the main aspects of the information that we're sharing.
And just for those who don't know what they are?
Okay, so just quickly, here's Islam 101. The first pillar being the declaration of faith or the Shahada. The second pillar being prayer, so Muslims pray five times a day.
So people see the little prayer mat there?
Yes, they see the prayer mat and so on, bowing in prayer, just to show you an example of how the prayer looks like. The third pillar is a zakat, and that's the almsgiving to the less fortunate.
And we've got $100 bills there. These are this is no slouch giving a few pennies here.
Yeah, that's reminding this people is serious. To be. That's reminding the $100 bills are reminding people to be generous when they give to the poor. So the fourth pillar is fasting. Many people would be familiar that Muslims fast during the month of Ramadan. Muslims undertake individual fasting throughout the year as well, as a way of realigning themselves, grounding themselves spiritually, and just as a individual thing. So there is the month of Ramadan and then fasting outside of Ramadan as well.
The significance of the dates?
Well, it's sort of a bit of a tradition for Muslims to break their fast with dates. So we have an image of dates there. They look quite yummy, actually.
They do. Thick, not overly dry.
No. And the fifth pillar being Hajj, which is the pilgrimage to Mecca, which every Muslim should undertake if they are in good health and they have the financial means to do so.
And there's a photograph there of the Kaaba, the big black cube.
Yes, in Islamic tradition, the Kaaba, we believe, is built by the Prophet Abraham as the very first house of God, so for the first place of worship. So whichever way you want to refer to it, it is a mosque or a synagogue or a church. Abraham is a prophet for each of the monotheistic faiths, and we believe that he built that as a place of worship for God, and that's why Muslims go to the Kaaba for their Hajj, and it's an important site.
Well, what we're also hearing behind you is the sound of someone that perhaps some people might recognize as that wonderful Cat Stevens, who had some great songs, who became a Muslim.
Yusuf Islam, as he's known as his Muslim name, he very generously donated a lot of his time to record throughout the museum. So you can hear Yusuf's voice narrating over the Hajj video that we have in the Hajj Theatreette, which is a 4-minute video that runs on a loop. And it just sort of gives visitors a look into what the Hajj pilgrimage looks like, the Quranic recitations throughout the museum, and also the call to prayer that's in the minaret tower. So they were all recorded by Yusuf, and he's got an amazing voice. So it's a privilege and a pleasure to hear him every day, actually.
Peace train sounding loud, glide on the peace train. Gisekaya, Giseka, come on, peace train.
I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come.
Someday it's going to come, come take me home again.
We left Noor Shkembi back at the Five Pillars in the Gallery of Faith at the Islamic Museum of Australia, which is located in the Thornbury suburb of Melbourne and backs on to the Merri Creek Trail. Noor is an artist herself. She's the mother of five children and is also the arts officer at the Islamic Council of Victoria. Now, Noor, you are the art exhibition curator, and you know, a lot of people think that Islam is against art. It doesn't have art. It's iconoclastic. So what is the role that art plays in Islam, in Islamic civilization?
Well, we'll actually head over into the art gallery and have a chat about all the wonderful contemporary art that we have on display here at the museum.
Well, I recognize Philip George's work. He's been on The Spirit of Things with these marvelous surfboards covered in Islamic art. That's right here in the center. Are they a permanent exhibition here?
Yes, we've got three of Phil's surfboards here in the Islamic Art Gallery on permanent display. And the boards that we actually have are quite stunning. And the first board that we see right in front of us shows the beautiful design and the intricate wooden inlay from the Hariri Mosque in Beirut in Lebanon. The next board that we see here is the ancient tile work, geometric tile work from the Umayyad Mosque in Syria. The third board here is actually the stunning Iznik tiles from the Topkapi Palace in Istanbul in Turkey, and they're absolutely amazing. And the reaction that we get from school kids when they come around the corner into the art gallery is pretty special. The surfboards, I think, have done their job in that it really shows the fusion between what's iconically Australian in the way of the Australian beach culture and surfboard, and what's iconically Islamic in the way of the traditional Islamic design and pattern. And Phil's done a brilliant job fusing that together and really bringing that conversation about multiculturalism and this so-called East and West and this connection, that it can be a beautiful thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be a negative thing.
A dissolution or diminution of the tradition.
Yeah, look, the incredible thing about the boards is that they speak to people from both cultures. And for many Muslims who probably don't really surf, they're a little bit curious as to why there's traditional pattern on the surfboard. I actually had a visitor come into the museum, and she came to front reception and said, "I need to speak to the art curator or your art director here. I've studied Islamic art and I've gone into the art gallery and there are no Iznik tiles. Where are the traditional elements?" We do have traditional items in our cabinet, but she was expecting in particular to see the pottery and traditional work from Turkey, because she had studied this specifically. And we walked into the gallery and I said to her, "Well, we actually do have Iznik tiles in our gallery." And she said, "I didn't see any." And I said, "Well, here on the surfboards." And it took her a little moment and she reflected upon it. And she said, "But that's not traditional." And I said, "Well, it is a traditional art form presented in a contemporary way. And that's the story of many Muslims, that in our contemporary space as Australians, we have many different identities, as does anybody who, unless you're Indigenous Australian, at some point in time your family's migrated here. We often marry, mix marry cultures, religions. We grow up with pop culture. Normally we have friends from various different backgrounds. So who we are is quite complex, and the way we identify with ourselves, the things that we celebrate, the way we celebrate them, the food that we eat, the art that we enjoy, is all quite unique to each person. And that's perhaps one of the most exciting things about Australia as a multicultural space, that you can enjoy so much of the freedom of embracing the many different aspects of who you are.
Well, it says a lot about this institution that they hired you as the art curator, someone who really believes in this living, changing, transforming civilization and culture.
The museum itself is not locking down the Australian Muslim identity. What we're saying is to come in and explore and open your mind up and your imagination up. And we actually want people to walk out with more questions than answers. For myself as a curator, it's about providing a platform, opening up imagination, allowing people to tell their stories. And I think what people walk away with is that the Muslim community is quite diverse.
But it sounds also like this has a role not just for non-Muslims to find out what makes Muslims tick, or, you know, how many different Muslim types are there. But it sounds like it's also speaking to Muslims themselves, who might be asking themselves these questions.
Absolutely, especially for young people coming through the space. I mean, most teenagers are struggling with identity regardless. They're looking at who they are, they're trying to understand their position in society, their relationships within their families. And for many young Muslims, that's complicated even further with this question of what is an Australian Muslim? Are they mutually exclusive terms? So for a lot of young Muslims, they come through and for the first time say, "Well, I can be Australian and Muslim. I'm an Australian Muslim." And they feel very grounded in that and very proud of that. That's a huge thing in itself. It does play that dual role where people from outside of the Muslim community will come in and see something they didn't expect to see, and for Muslims to come in and leave feeling like they're at home.
I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come.